Ever notice how a single terse email from your boss can hijack your entire afternoon? Your heart races, palms sweat, and suddenly you're spiraling through catastrophic scenarios about being fired, all because of five words. Can we talk this afternoon? Here's the thing. It's not the email that's destroying your peace. It's the story you're telling yourself about what it means. This is where cognitive behavioral therapy enters the workplace revolution. Unlike traditional therapy that excavates childhood memories or self-help books offering generic platitudes, CBT operates on a deceptively simple premise. Our thoughts create our emotional reality, not the actual events, but our interpretation of them. When Dr. Aaron Beck observed depressed patients in the 1940s, he noticed they all shared distorted thinking patterns, harsh self-criticism, catastrophic predictions, black and white judgments. By challenging these thought patterns, Beck discovered he could alleviate depression more effectively than any previous method. Today, this approach has become the cornerstone of workplace mental health programs at companies like Google and Microsoft, transforming how millions of professionals navigate daily stress. Think of your mind as running on an operating system, constantly processing workplace events through a specific formula. Activating event leads to belief, which determines emotional consequence. When your colleague cancels their commitment to help with your project, you have a choice in how you interpret it. They should have kept their word generates anger and resentment. I would prefer they kept their word, but people have competing priorities produces mild disappointment. Same event, radically different emotional outcome. This distinction between rigid demands and flexible preferences changes everything. Notice the language, should, must, ought. These words signal that you've transformed a preference into an absolute requirement for reality. Marion thrived in banking for 12 years until a company takeover changed her role and added a brutal commute. Suddenly, she questioned everything. Am I cut out for this? What changed wasn't her competence, it was the circumstances. Consider the introversion-extroversion spectrum. Extroverts recharge through social interaction and thrive collaboratively. Introverts need solitude to restore energy and prefer reflection before speaking. Neither is superior, they're different operating systems. Problems emerge from mismatches. An introvert in an open-plan office with constant meetings experiences perpetual depletion, while an extrovert doing solitary research feels starved for connection. The Big Five personality traits are 40 to 60% genetically determined, but continuously shaped by experience. Self-awareness about these tendencies explains why certain situations trigger anxiety while others feel natural. Reality often means adapting to available opportunities, entirely possible when you understand your patterns. Your body's fight-or-flight response evolved to save you from physical threats. Moderate nervous energy before presentations actually enhances performance through heightened alertness, but excessive adrenaline collapses cognitive function. Racing thoughts, hands tremble, and clear thinking becomes impossible. Louise, a graphic designer, believed, "I must produce flawless work on every project." This rigid demand created such intense anxiety that it actually diminished her creative abilities, a cruel irony where perfectionism sabotages excellence. Picture Chris at a networking event, listening to the chairman make inappropriate, sexist jokes before a hospice presentation. His rigid belief that people should not be disrespectful triggered intense anger that could have exploded into a confrontation, destroying professional relationships. Instead, by shifting to, "I prefer people to be respectful, but I can't control others' behavior," Chris maintained his principles while choosing a strategic response, perhaps addressing the issue calmly with the chairman later. This conscious, compliant approach doesn't mean abandoning your values. It means recognizing that explosive anger rarely achieves your goals. When anger arises, noradrenaline floods your body, preparing you for confrontation. While there's an optimal level of being fired up for assertive communication, exceeding this point impairs judgment and rational thinking. Workplace anger manifests in three patterns: self-directed anger, creating harsh internal criticism; outward-directed anger, damaging relationships; and generalized anger at the system, leaving you feeling powerless. shifting from, I should have been given that promotion, to, I would have preferred that promotion, doesn't mean liking what happened, but it frees you from carrying resentment. Your body keeps score through headaches, digestive troubles, muscle tension, and sleep disruption. Early warning signals that your thinking patterns need recalibration. Conscientious employees struggle most with guilt because they hold impossibly high standards. University of Hull research found that guilt literally suppresses immune function. The root cause? Not measuring up to your beliefs about how you should behave. When mistakes happen, our instinct is hiding them. Yet secrecy intensifies guilt while preventing resolution. Research shows managers who acknowledge fallibility are actually better liked by their teams. As Henry Ford noted, even a mistake may turn out to be the one thing necessary to a worthwhile achievement. Work environments create cognitive dissonance when behavior conflicts with values. A sales representative might feel uncomfortable promoting a product they don't believe in, or a manager might struggle implementing layoffs despite understanding financial necessity. While minor instances cause slight discomfort, serious conflicts between professional responsibilities and personal moral codes create intense distress, requiring direct attention. Managing workplace guilt involves understanding why you feel guilty to become less self-critical, developing enlightened self-interest to recognize when prioritizing your needs isn't selfish, and maintaining perspective by accepting that stuff happens even with best intentions. The CBT Toolkit teaches you to become a thought detective, catching rigid demands before they spiral. Holding high standards without demanding reality be different than it is. Depression isn't just a bad day. It's a persistent low mood affecting psychological and physical well-being, potentially lasting months without treatment. The WHO predicts it will be the primary illness in the Western world by 2030, making workplace understanding critical. Depression manifests through persistent sadness or numbness, negative thinking, physical symptoms like sleep disturbances and fatigue, and behavioral withdrawal. Some maintain smiling depression, appearing functional professionally while struggling privately, often from fearing workplace stigma. However, depression is an illness requiring proper treatment, not a character weakness. Physical activity naturally increases serotonin and releases mood-boosting endorphins. Even with desk jobs, incorporating movement, lunch walks, using stairs, joining a gym significantly improves mood. Recovery often involves day-by-day planning, breaking each day into manageable chunks to create momentum that gradually rebuilds confidence. Self-esteem, how you rate yourself, particularly compared to others, profoundly influences workplace performance. Research from 1980s London showed parental support fostering high self-esteem was the most valuable gift for achievement. Many adults retain childhood beliefs about needing constant approval, leading to workplace anxiety. Taki, a bike courier studying electrical engineering, experienced a gifts of happiness activity where colleagues wrote positive attributes about each other. These affirmations had profound impact. Taki kept them in a drawer, rereading them whenever he questioned his abilities. Positive psychology focuses on enhancing happiness rather than fixing problems. Research with nuns revealed those expressing joy in early writings lived significantly longer than those focusing on duty, powerful evidence for optimism's physical effects. Workplace benefits include greater perseverance, creative problem-solving, stronger immunity, and higher satisfaction. Professor Richard Wiseman found lucky people share four traits: maximizing opportunities, trusting intuition, maintaining optimism, and taking control rather than dwelling on misfortune. This isn't metaphysical, it's openness to experiences and proactive problem solving. Modern work challenges include blurred boundaries, constant digital accessibility, and workaholic tendencies. When work dominates life, unhealthy coping emerges: excessive eating, regular drinking, increased smoking, or compulsive online activity. Prolonged stress transforms these into addictive habits, requiring escalating amounts for relief. Effective stress management includes keeping thought diaries to identify triggers, creating calming playlists, developing personal mantras, practicing slow breathing, and using physical relaxation. The goal isn't eliminating anxiety, but preventing paralysis. While naturally anxious people won't become perpetually calm, CBT techniques significantly reduce anxiety's intensity and duration. Workplace happiness requires aligning expectations with reality. Three belief patterns block this: demanding perfection from yourself, expecting perfect treatment from others, and requiring ideal conditions. The CBT toolkit helps replace these rigid demands with healthier preferences. I would prefer to do well, but occasional mistakes don't define my worth. Structured relaxation provides essential balance. Simple mindfulness exercises during busy workdays create calm that improves well-being and performance. Research confirms regular breaks boost productivity. Meditation and mindfulness effectively treat depression, anxiety, and chronic stress. Health systems worldwide now recommend them as evidence-based interventions. Self-acceptance matters more than external validation. Basing emotional well-being on others' opinions creates vulnerability to workplace politics. As Mark Twain noted, the worst loneliness is not to be comfortable with yourself. You're unique with irreplaceable skills. Keep your humor, have fun, and create the working life you want. As novelist Rose Tremaine reminds us, life is not a dress rehearsal, including your professional journey. Your thoughts shape your reality. Change the thoughts, change the experience.